excited to speak today, which is unusual. Normally, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I think I can, actually. But I am really excited because I'm really excited about what I feel God has shared with me recently. And so I have the opportunity to share with you my findings. So at the end of service today, I declare you will feel lighter, empowered, and have more joy when you walk out those doors today. So, you all say, prove it, Mindy. I will. Challenge accepted. All right. So before we get started into the message, I just wanted to play a little game. Some of you may know this game. Some of you may not. I mean, you know, like, if you were old, you might not know it. I know it, so it must not be. If you're really old, maybe you've never played it, but it's called Two Truths and a Lie. You ever hear of it? Okay, so I am going to share with you three things about me. Two of them are true and one is false. You get to choose or guess which you believe, all right? So, number one, truth about me. When I was 10 years old, I flew on an airplane alone and went to Dry Gulch Camp for a week where they filmed the Gospel Bill Show. Do you guys remember the Gospel Bill Show? The old people in the room remember it. So that was number one. Number two, I am one of five daughters in my family. Number three, I was treated for pink eye at a hospital in Santa Cruz, Bolivia when I was 16. So which is the truth? Which is the lie? Two truths and one lie. Dry Gulch is a lie? Huh? Those are true. So Bolivia is the lie. Bolivia is the lie? All right, so the lie is, I actually am one of six daughters. Chicha! I have five sisters, so I'm the youngest of nine. Tricky, huh? Yeah, there you go, count them down. All right, so we are gonna talk about today, guess, two truths and a lie. Very good. Good job. You're listening, Lizzie. All right. So a few weeks ago, Keith spoke. And what did you guys remember what he talked about? Beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The thing that stuck with me that day and, like, has been, like, just circling my head ever since then is he said that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about what Jesus said and what he did, but John talked about who Jesus was. So he began his message sharing, you know, the first scriptures in John that, what is it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was Jesus, made flesh, and that dwelt among us. So the first truth that we're going to talk today about is the identity of Jesus. So do you guys remember the story of Moses when he wanders out and he sees, I think it's during the burning bush. I actually didn't read it on purpose just so I wouldn't know. But, and he talks to God and he's like, who are you, God? And God says, I am that I am. He's talking about he always was, he always will be. He is the eternal God. Right? And that's what he revealed himself to Moses to be. So when Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus is the Word, was with God, and, you know, came, was there at the beginning, Jesus also reveals himself, except with more words, of I am. So when he said, and I'm just going to run through some scriptures here, John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He is identifying himself with God. I am the bread of life. John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world." John 10:7-9, he says, "I am the door to the sheep." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." All of these, I believe, are attributes of God as well. If he is God, right? The Son of God. John 11:25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's not only just saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and life." He's saying, "I am the eternal existence." Again, he's identifying with that. So those statements reveal that he wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just, someone coming with pronouncing God's word. He was the embodiment of God himself. So the first truth today is the identity of Jesus in I am. Second truth today is the identity of me in Jesus, in Christ. So, I thought about Keith's message and thinking about who Jesus was and started thinking about, well, who am I? Anybody have any guesses? Not like me as in Mindy Ralston, but who are you through Christ? When we receive that gift that Jesus was, who do we become? Who are we? Child of God, him, in him, loved. Yeah, I am a child of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." I am an eternal child of God. Another thing that kind of going along with this, Romans 8:14 says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So as I am a child of God, I am led by the Spirit of God. I mean, how many of you are like confident in that? I am led by the Spirit of God. I'm not always. I'm going to tell you. I'm questioning it. Like, okay, is this you, God? Am I walking? Am I taking the right path, or is it that path? Is it this fork or that fork? I am led by the Spirit of God. I can be confident in the path that I'm as I'm trusting in Christ, right? That he is going to lead me in the correct path, and in not only just my path, but led by the Spirit of God for others, right? To maybe share, again, where it says, Father lavished his love on us to be called children of God. Maybe we can share with others that amazing love that was lavished on us. Another identity I think that I can take on in my identity with Christ is that I am at peace. So Philippians 4:11-13 says, "I'm not saying this," this is Paul, "because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this, all things through him who gives me strength." We hear that scripture a lot when it's like, we're going to do this. We can do all things through Christ. But really, that scripture is talking about learning to be at peace and at rest and content no matter what the circumstance I'm in. Let me tell you, I don't always hit the mark. especially when I have a child that's like having a meltdown and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be at peace and rest and peace and rest, and they're pushing the button and they're pushing the button and they're pushing the button. Anybody? Never. Gosh, I'm on my own. Oh, well, this is still the truth. The truth is that we can learn to be at rest, to be content in every situation. How many of you have had some tough work situations and that did not make you feel at rest? You might have lost some sleep over that work situation. I have. How many of you, again, have had some family situations, children? I'm not, you know, sisters. Maybe it's sister. I got five of them. Sisters for sure. Friends. Friend drama. We're all too old for friend drama, aren't we? Wow. Just, I just wanted you to ponder that for a moment as the friend drama rages on. Where are we? Are we tossed back and forth and between what we think and feel and our emotions are up and down? Or are we at rest? So the challenge today, or the thing I would like you to ponder, is you know, our identity in Christ. And, you know, I think all of us, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, going from glory to glory. There's always going to be growth that we can move toward, right? So that's still a truth. Maybe we aren't there. Maybe I'm not content in every situation I'm in, but it's still the truth that through Christ I can learn that. I can be the embodiment of trusting Him in every situation. So, truth number one, the identity of Jesus. Truth number two, the identity of me. Now, we get to the lie. All right? So we're going to look at the original lie. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," said the serpent to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took and ate it. So what is the lie? What? That you'll be like God? Yeah. Number one, Satan, or the serpent, you know, deception is the lie. So he deceived her. Yeah, they were already like God. Yeah. Yeah. He deceived her, and here's where he roams, I think. This is my own terminology, so maybe you all can put it into better words than I. But Satan traffics in deception and fear. You don't have wisdom, but this will give you wisdom. Well, I want wisdom. I want to know. I want to know. I want. I need that. I'm missing out. I'm going to miss out. She had FOMO. What is that? That's the actual word. Oh, yeah, I'm totally old today because I've never used that one. I know TMI. Come on now. Deception and fear is the lie. Now, here is where I'm going to challenge all of us in this room today, is that we tell ourselves stories about our lives, especially under stress. This always happens to me. Nobody really cares about my feelings. I can't do that or I'm going to hurt myself. I can't help you because I need to take care of me. Well, I don't know. We all have them. We all have these narratives within us that I'm going to call out as being that we're deceived by, and they're based and rooted in fear. Nobody loves me. Nobody really cares about me. When things don't go my way, it's because nobody cares about me. Is that based in fear? Am I deceived? Am I really cared about and loved and valued? It's just I'm not getting my own way, so nobody cares about me. So, how about this one? Why should I forgive them? They don't deserve it. They hurt me. Got really quiet in here. Yes. Well, I'm not as bad as them. These things we tell ourselves, and you all are shaking your head going, yeah, I got those. When you think, especially when your button's pushed, when you're under stress, when life isn't going your way, those narratives that we've held on to for years, some since childhood, because we were hurt, and that hurt wasn't comforted, and we learned to protect ourselves as a child by doing certain things that no longer serve us as adults. So I'm just going to focus on just physical pain for just a moment, because I heard a couple of podcasts recently that just like really hit home for me with this message. And so I was listening to this doctor. His name is Dr. Chatterjee. He has a podcast. And he was interviewing another a doctor. And they were talking about pain, and he shared his own experience of pain, that in his early 20s, he had helped a friend move, and they had worked all day, and at the end of the day, he went to lift something, and something pulled in his back. And he had a lot of back pain. He was unable to continue on that day. And so then he ended up going to the doctor and ended up having an MRI, and it just continued on for months. And he had an MRI, and the doctor came back and said, you have... this shows on your MRI. Excuse me. But the doctor told him, I don't know exactly, 75-80% of people, if they had an MRI, would show an abnormality in the spine. And he was a doctor in that time. He didn't even realize that's the case. But some people have pain from that, and some people do not. And so he decided, I'm not going to have surgery. And he went and he had physical therapy and he did other things. But over a 10-year span, he dealt with that back pain off and on. But he had really recovered from it for the most part. So he is helping his mother, who is kind of bedridden, doesn't live far from him. And he had gotten a call from his brother that she had fallen out of bed, and he had to go over there previously and help lift her back in bed. And every time he would get the call previously, immediately he would feel stressed. Oh, I hope I don't hurt my back. Fear, right? Because honestly, we're all afraid of pain, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain. I fear pain. Anybody else in this room? So he that was his narrative. Every time he would get the call, he would get stressed and he would get tense. He'd help his mom, and it wouldn't be horrible, but the next day you would have tension and back pain, and he'd have to, you know, work it out. And so when he got the call, he chose to change his thoughts on it, the narrative, his story in his head, and he said, you know what, I'm really healthy, I'm really strong, and I think I can go help my mom, and I'll be fine. I don't have to have pain. Like, it's going to be okay. And so he changed the narrative, and he didn't take on stress, which stress always seems to exacerbate pain. Anyone? Thank you. He didn't take on the stress from it. He said, okay, I'll come over and I'll help. He went and he, you know, walked into where his mom's house, and he was joking with her, and they were laughing, and he gets her up on the bed, and they have a great time, and he goes home, and he realizes no pain. The only thing he had done was change the narrative. So as we know that who the identity of Jesus is, and we know the identity of ourselves, the lie deceives us from our true identity, that we can live a life full to all the fullness of God. But that lie we believe, and that fear gets in there, and we don't recognize it, that narrative is not from God, it's from the father of lies. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, like, some of us, I had to spend some time in therapy to work through some narratives in my head from my childhood. And you know what? It's incredible the things that my therapist has called me out on that I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. Huh? How dare you? No, not how dare you, but it just shocked me that, oh my gosh, like, I've been thinking this way my whole life. So this doctor that Dr. Chatterjee was interviewing was actually had done research from, you can Google it later, it's for real, Boulder, Colorado back pain study. So they had done an actual study, and they took patients, I think they had like 45 patients, and they made sure they didn't have any real true structural problem, okay, like physical problem. But they did have chronic pain for over 10 years. And they took them, and what they did is they began to work with them on the narrative they told themselves. Chronic pain for 10 years, 75% of the patients in 1 month time had no pain. Do you know how powerful your thoughts are? Your body follows your thoughts. Ask Paige. She's given me the look. 100%. Boulder, Colorado, back pain research study. I'm not lying to you. Okay? So our body follows our thoughts, number one. Number two, in this podcast, they were talking, and they started talking about this marathon runner, Eliud Kipchoge. He's considered the fastest man alive for marathons right now. So, Eliud Kipchoge, he's from Kenya. He's a long-distance runner, and he has, you know, completes these marathons in, like, 2 hours. And so he has an actual, I don't know that it's called the Kipchoge smile. He smiles while he runs, a big smile. And so he was asked why he smiles when he runs. And he has revealed, you know, not only, again, separating out here a moment, our thoughts, our body follows our thoughts, our body also follows our body language. He smiles to tell his brain, it's going to be okay. I'm going to make it. You're going to make it through it. You can do this. He's smiling as he's running. And they were saying, you know, it helps him relax through the pain. They were saying that, you know, when you're running and you're like, I can't run very far. I haven't ever have. But, like, you know, get me a half mile and I feel like I'm about to collapse. They say when you're to that point where you feel like you're going to collapse, you have only accessed 40% of what's inside you. So his smile is signaling his brain that he's going to be okay, that he's safe, he's strong, he's got this, right? So I have, like, since December, I had joined this Pilates app on my phone. And it's so funny because I didn't even realize this was the case or it was like a, you know, psychological thing at all. But during really challenging moves in Pilates, the instructor will say, all right, smile, take a breath and smile. And I, when I heard this podcast, I went, oh, she's been like psychologically tricking my brain this whole time. I can't believe it. I had no idea. I just thought she was being, oh, okay. But what a difference. And I could do the movements. I've been able to do them. And I was like, that was really hard, but I did it. Our bodies follow our thoughts, and our bodies follow our body language. The Kipchoge smile, it's called. So you guys can be chanting that this week, the Kipchoge smile. The grin. Yep. You got to mean it. So when they were doing this back pain study, what they did was they worked with the people, again, on changing the narrative, but specifically they worked on having them imagine moving with joy, with ease. Imagine being able to bend over. And they'd be like, I can't bend over. It hurts. Just imagine it. Don't do it. They're like, the pain is real. The pain is real. They totally legitimized that what they're feeling is real. But to change the narrative, we obviously know how to, you know, I heard Tammy, when she spoke a couple times ago, she said, you know, she was talking about imagining, you know, God, and I don't know what she was speaking on, but she said, people say, oh, I have no imagination. She goes, oh, but fear has an imagination, doesn't it? When something happens and we think worst case scenario, that's imagination. And so in this study, they had them imagine moving through the pain with joy, or not the pain, moving through, you know, the body movements with joy, and imagining that they were able to do it. 10 years of chronic pain, my mind is blown. How cool is that? Like, we often talk about faith and speaking the right things, but it starts with what we're thinking. And I'm not saying that if you're in pain to go do something crazy you know physically you can't do. I'm saying to challenge your thinking on it. Challenge the narrative. Recognize the lie. Recognize the father of lies that possibly we've swallowed, and it's blocking us from truly walking in our true identity, the truth of who we are. So I also had listened to another podcast from not the same doctors, but it was a cardiologist, and he was talking about intermittent fasting. And he was talking about fasting in that, you know, as our body is screaming at us in hunger, you know, we hear the thought, I am hungry, right? And he said, you know, that the best thing to do during that time is to go do breath work and work on meditation. Focus on the breath, counting to five, inhale, count to five, exhale. Focus on the breath. And he was talking about really just like getting rid of the chatter going on, but separating our physical sensation of hunger from who we are. And wow. You mean I don't have to be dictated to by my hunger? And there are physical things that we can do that can truly change our daily walk in life, the breath work and meditation really brings us into who, to focus on who am I? This eternal being inside this body. Even the Bible says we are a spirit. We have a body. My body telling me to eat is just my body telling me to eat. It's not who I am. Just throwing those thoughts out there. You can do what you want. But anyway, so I am going to close. But at the end here, we are actually going to do a meditation. But I, again, the meditation is going to bring us within ourselves to who you are. And it's a meditation on moving toward forgiveness. And when we talk about our thoughts, our body, our physical body follows our thoughts, you are all, if you actually follow through with this, are going to, your body is going to talk to you, and you are going to feel sensations in your body. And you are going to think through and feel release. So what I said at the beginning of this message, when you walk out of here, you're going to feel lighter, you're going to feel empowered, and you're going to walk out with more joy. Now is our practice time of taking our thoughts and focusing them in and allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing to be led by the sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God, right? And forgiveness is definitely something the Spirit of God wants us to move toward, to move in. Yeah? Amen. I didn't get any amens today. Come on. Am I shocking you all? I suppose. The front row supposes. Okay, so who can summarize two truths and a lie today? Truth number one, the identity of Jesus. Truth number two, my identity and the lie. Deception and fear. Okay, I'm going to plug this in the back and sit down. So when it's over, I am done. And I want you guys to share with each other what you felt and how you feel. And you know what? You might even say to a friend this week, hey, my friend Mindy shared something with me this week. Two truths and a lie. Let me tell you about it.